Blog Talk Radio.
Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet Arthie Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Amen. Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Praise be to God. And that is a Thanksgiving prayer. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we get along, and sometimes we don't. Treat everybody like you want to be treated. Yep, there will be times when your efforts will be defeated. I know sometimes you're heavy laden burden. Can't stop your heart from hurting. The searching deep within. Where did it all go wrong? And you need a savior to give you the strength to go on. Hold on.
Hold on.
To the hem of a garment. All you need is a little faith to receive this saving grace. Hold on,
hold on,
to the hem of his garment,
of his garment.
Don't let Jesus pass you by. He'll make everything alright. Story about a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years.
like a flood. Even the doctor had given up on hope. But she heard about a man called Jesus who could perform miracles. So she started crawling through the crowd on her hands and knees. She caught on to his garment. Then he said, somebody touch me. Jesus could feel the healing start to flow. Then he looked at this woman and said, your faith has made you whole.
Amen. Hold on to the hem of his garment. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, I think I appeared to this name more than any other. I frequently ask you to give me this or that, and I come once again doing the same. Yet I ask you to give to me only what will produce the greatest growth in me and the most far-reaching impact for your kingdom on earth. You revealed yourself as Jehovah Jireh when you met Abraham on the mountain just as he was about to sacrifice the pride of his life, his son Isaac, to you. Too often, I forget the gravity of the situation when you first shared this name. Instead, I look to you as a cosmic genie ready to dispense favors at my command. Let me know you in the truest and most authentic form of this name, Jehovah Jireh. As you meet me in my pain, sacrifice, and dedication to you, let me see you on the mountaintop of my own struggles. Come through me. Come through for me as you did in providing Abraham's sacrifice. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
We live to magnify your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
God, it is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Always With You. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. And it says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. To God be the glory for the reading of his word. The writer says, nothing is more painful than being forsaken by those we trust. During times of trouble, of course, there are many reasons others may fail us. They may feel inadequate to help us, fear trouble or inconvenience, be jealous of us, or simply be self-centered and insensitive. Although examining the cause may not erase our pain, it can help us understand why we are always admonished to put our full trust in God. Paul certainly understood this as he sat in prison facing a sentence of death. He wrote, "No one supported me, but all deserted me." 2 Timothy 4:16. The apostle, who had sacrificed so much and poured his life into so many, was barren of earthly comfort or companionship. However, God never let him down. The good news is that the Lord offers his strength and presence to you in the same way today. Even if no one understands your struggles or all others leave you, God is with you. So don't be discouraged. Love those around you and be there for them. But put your trust in the Lord. He will never leave you or forsake you, and is always faithful to you, comfort and deliver you regardless of what you face. Amen. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for remaining faithful when others fail me. I rejoice that because of you, I am never really alone. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer request at that same number. To God be the glory. And at this time, I will play another selection.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you're greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you're greater. Greater than all, greater than all, you're
behind, just getting by. Couldn't find a friend to wipe the tears from my eyes. Holiday blues, I didn't know what to do. Couldn't afford to buy gifts, or it was overdue.
Not wanting me to worship any other god or idol. It's because you are the only one true living God. You carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. You tell the stars where to hang, and you delivered your children from harm. You are a present help in trouble and a peaceful comfort when I'm alone. You deserve to be a jealous God. because you owe everything. You own everything, and everything comes from you. Amen, amen, and amen.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the Jesus be the center, say, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Yeah.
The Lord, whose name is Jealous. I admit, I don't normally associate this name with you. If I did, I would be far more careful to show you the honor and respect due you. To my shame, I find I give my time and energy to entertaining or distracting myself most of the week, and I give you only a portion of my time. Forgive me for such an imbalance in the order of my days. It definitely doesn't reflect your call to kingdom living, which is to seek you first and before all, above and before all. Thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can call in your prayer requests at that same number. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection, and I hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. To God be the glory.
Father, we ask you now, as we lift your name, that you'll dwell among us and be our God, and we are your people. Let's bring it like this together. No matter what,
no matter what,
come on, the problem
may be,
He's in control,
and He knows
yes,
everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say it again. No matter what,
no matter what. The problem may be,
He's in control
and He knows everything.
How many know that you got the victory?
I have the victory, for He is my King.
In Him I live, I move,
and have my being.
Say
it
like the best of people.
The peace.
Come on, lift them up in here.
Oh, let them
rejoice
and shout unto the
Lord.
Why?
When you called us to triumph in you, Jesus.
He's in control, and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
move, and have my being.
Say that again. No matter what,
the problem may be.
Come on, clap your hands like this and sing it with us.
He's in control, and He knows everything.
I have the victory,
for He is my King.
In Him I live,
move,
you believe
and have
that?
My
sing
being.
Sing this with us. Let's go. Come on, lift Him up.
Rejoice.
And shout unto Him.
And shout unto
Him. The one you call Him.
We have caused us to triumph.
And we know we will rule in the end. Say it again.
Let
the peace.
Oh, lift Him up.
Rejoice. Come on, someone shout.
And shout
with the voice of triumph tonight.
We have caused us to triumph. And we know we will rule in the end.
Oh, let's take it here, PDA. He dwells in the midst of His people. So God, as we lift your name, we lift you higher on the earth. Let's do it together, all the sinners, all over the world.
Lift Him up.
Come on, sing it.
Lift Him up.
Lift Him up.
Lift Him up.
Higher and higher.
Higher and higher.
Come on, so God, you.
Lift Him up.
That don't mind singing it.
Lift Him up.
Come on.
God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Praise be to God. Search my life, and if there's anything that does not belong, please take it out of me. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now it is time for our lesson, Talk Through the Bible, by Bruce Wickinson, and our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Lady Nadine. How are you this evening?
Oh, doing great. Doing great. How about you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yeah, last night I was in so much pain, but tonight I'm a little better. I don't know why, but I thank God for it.
I know. I hear that today, all day. My back pain is back. I think the reason why I wasn't having pain after I had my, right after I had my surgery,
yeah.
It was like, oh my God, my back pain is gone. But I think it was because I still had the anesthesia in my system.
Yes.
But
it takes a while to go.
Those couple of days, girl.
Now it has worn off.
I was walking and I was like, "Ooh, I ain't got no pain." I think we had walked all over the place. I was good, but now is back and it's back with a vengeance. So my physical therapist for my shoulder, you know, he told me, you know, get a prescription and he can work with me for my back. So I'm gonna go back to see an orthopedic doctor and get this stuff rolling again. I can't walk from my apartment, you know where my building is, to the front gate. By the time I get to the front gate, I'm in pain.
Yep. That's exactly how it is. I'll be like, I walk, I stop.
Yeah. So, you know, but thank you, Lord, for just being able to walk the amount of walking that I can do.
Exactly. Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. This is definitely could be worse. Ooh. So let's open up in prayer. Dear God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for just being who you are, Lord God, and being with us every step of the way, Lord God. Even through our pain, Lord God, you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Lord God, you were right there with me today when I started walking fast and realized that whether I walk fast or slow, the pain is still there, but at least if I walk fast, I'll get to my destination faster.
Yes.
It was me and the Lord just talking while I was walking down the concourse. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. So you are an on-time God. You are with us every step of the way. You're always right beside us. And I just thank you, Father, so that
we can
always call you. We can talk to you, Lord God. We can talk to Jesus. He is our friend. He's our friend. And we can have conversations with him just like we do with any of our friends. But he has more power than our friends have. So we do.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We offer you and we bless your name, Lord God, and we ask you to be a part of this lesson, Lord God, so that we can have the clarity that we need, Lord God, to apply your word into our hearts and also be able to apply your word to everyone that we come in contact with, Lord God.
Yes.
So, Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So we're doing the vindication, right, of the righteousness of God.
Yes, the vindication.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that's where we stop.
Okay, good. All right, so it appears that God has rejected his people, Israel. Mm-hmm. But it is really Israel who has rejected her Messiah. Paul deals with the problem of Israel, God, in three ways. The first way he talks about, Paul talks about the fact that God is the sovereign Lord who is responsible to no one for his work of election and rejection.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that in chapter 9. So can we read chapter 9, please?
Yes.
Okay.
Chapter 9 says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow, unending grief. For my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters, I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ. If that would save me, they are the people of Israel, chosen to be God's adopted children. God revealed his glory to them. He made covenants with them and gave them his law. He gave them the privilege of worshiping him and receiving his wonderful promises. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are their ancestors, and Christ himself was an Israelite as far as his human nature is concerned. And he is God, the one who rules over everything and is worthy of eternal praise. Amen? Well then, has God failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? No, not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. Being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scripture says, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Though Abraham had other children, too. Now, this means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children.
So that's
God,
like,
yes, go
that
ahead.
Was Isaac. So Ishmael,
yes,
is not. This is saying because the only other children. Well, I don't know. I think Abraham only had Ishmael, right?
Yeah,
Isaac and Ishmael. So Ishmael only through Isaac that God's Abraham's children through Isaac are God's chosen.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So only the children of the promised are considered to be Abraham's children. For God had promised, I will return about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. This son was our ancestor Isaac. When he married Rebecca, she gave him birth. She gave birth to him. But before they had done anything good or bad, she received a message from God. This message shows that God chooses people according to his own purpose. He calls people, but not according to their good or bad works. She was told, Your older son will serve your younger son. Now, in the words of the scripture, I loved Jacob, but I rejected Esau. Are we saying then that God was unfair? Of course not. For God said to Moses, I will show mercy to anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose. So it is God who decides to show mercy. We can neither choose it nor work it or work for it. For the scripture says that God told Pharaoh, I have appointed you for the very purpose of displaying my power in you and to spread my fame throughout the earth. So, see, God chose to show mercy to some, and he chooses to harden the hearts of others so they refuse to listen. Well, then, okay? Remember, he did harden Pharaoh's heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did it.
Yes, he did. So only God can do that.
Uh-huh.
19. Well, then, you might say, why does God blame people for not responding? Haven't they simply done what he makes them do?
Mm-hmm.
No, don't say that. Who are you, a mere human being, to argue with God? Should the thing that was created say to the one who created it, why have you made me like this? When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into? In the same way, even though God has the right to show his anger and his power, he is very patient with those on whom his anger falls. Who are destined for destruction? He does this to make the riches of his glory shine even brighter on those to whom he shows mercy, who were prepared in advance for glory. And we are among those who he selected, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles. Concerning the Gentiles, God says in the prophecy of Hosea, those who were not my people, I will now call my people. And I will love those whom I did not love before.
Wow.
Oh, God didn't love us before? And
nobody now. He loved the whole world now.
Yes. but before he didn't love us, we were not lovable.
No, we weren't lovable.
Exactly. 26. And then at the place where they were told, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. And concerning Israel, Isaiah the prophet cried out, though the people of Israel are as numerous as the sands of the seashore, only a remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth quickly and with finality. And Isaiah said the same thing in another place. if the Lord of armies, of heaven's army, had not spared a few of our children, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. 30. What does all this mean? Well, let's find out. Even though the Gentiles were not trying to follow God's standards, they were made right with God, and it was by faith that took place. But the people of Israel, who tried so hard to get right with God by keeping the law, never succeeded. Poor thing. Why not? Because they were trying to get right with God by keeping the law instead of by trusting in him. They stumbled over the great rock in their path. God warned them of this in the scriptures when he said, I am placing a stone in Jerusalem that makes people stumble, a rock that makes them fall. But anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. To God be the glory.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And so that's what we saw. We saw God is sovereign, and God can do whatever he wants to do.
Absolutely.
He's responsible for no one for his work of election and rejection. He can elect who he wants. He can reject who he wants. And he elected Israel in the past.
Yes.
But because of her disbelief, the nation has now been set aside in the present. Two, although God is sovereign, humans are responsible for the consequences of their decisions. And that's
right.
Chapter 10. I read chapter 10. Humans are responsible for their decisions. He gave us free choice. And chapter 10 reads, dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved.
Yes.
I know what enthusiasm they have for God, but it's misdirected zeal. But they don't understand God's ways of making people right with himself.
Yes.
Refusing to accept God's way, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. But Christ has already accomplished the purpose of which the law was given.
Amen.
As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God.
Amen.
For Moses writes that the Lord's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands.
Yes.
But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of death to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect.
Yes.
They have the same Lord who gives generously all who call on him.
Amen.
For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Hallelujah.
But
Jesus.
How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him?
Mm-hmm.
And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him?
Mm-hmm.
And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?
Mm-hmm.
And how would anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news.
Amen.
But not everyone welcomes the good news.
Mm-hmm.
For Isaiah, the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing.
Mm-hmm.
That is hearing the good news about Christ.
Yes.
But I ask, have the people of Israel actually heard the message? Yes, they have.
Okay.
The message has gone throughout the earth and the word to all the world. But I ask, did the people of Israel really understand? Yes, they did. But even in the time of Moses, God said, I will rouse your jealousy through people who are not even a nation. I will provoke your anger through the foolish Gentiles. And later, Isaiah spoke boldly for God, saying, I was found by people who were not looking for me. I showed myself to those who were not asking for me. But regarding Israel, God said, all day long, I opened my arms to them, but they were disobedient and rebellious.
Wow. After all of that, they still were disobedient.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So we see, so although God is sovereign, humans are responsible for the consequences of their decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is true of their decision to accept or reject Jesus. And then the third way, the problem with Israel and God's plan. The third problem is that the Israelites, the natural branches of God's olive tree, have been cut off and Gentiles have been added. And that's chapter 11.
Okay.
They've been cut off.
Oh, yeah. And it says, I asked then, as God rejected his own people, the nation of Israel. Of course not. Mm. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Really? No. God has not rejected his own people, whom he chose from the very beginning. Do you realize what the scriptures say about this? Elijah, the prophet, complained to God about the people of Israel and said, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too. You're not the only one left. And do you remember God's reply? He said, no, I have 7,000 others who have never bowed down to Baal. It is the same today for a few of the people of Israel have remained faithful because of God's grace, his undeserved kindness in choosing them. And since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserving. So, this is the situation. Most of the people of Israel have not found the favor of God. They are looking for so earnestly. A few have, the ones God has chosen, but the hearts of the rest were hardened. As the scriptures say, God has put them into a deep sleep. To this day, he has shut their eyes so they do not see, and closed their ears so they do not hear. Likewise, David said, let their bountiful table become a snare, a trap that makes them think all is well. Let their blessings cause them to stumble, and let them get what they deserve. Let their eyes go blind so they cannot see, and let their backs be bent forever. Whoa, that's kind of harsh. David was kind of harsh there. In verse 11, did God's people stumble and fall beyond recovery? Of course not. They were disobedient, so God made salvation available to the Gentiles. But he wanted his own people to become jealous and claim it for themselves. Now, if the Gentiles were enriched because the people of Israel turned down God's offer of salvation, think how much greater a blessing the world will share when they finally accept it. I am saying all this especially for you Gentiles. God has appointed me as the apostle to the Gentiles. I stress this, for I want somehow to make the people of Israel jealous of what you Gentiles have, so I might save some of them. For since their rejection meant that God offered salvation to the rest of the world, their acceptance will be even more wonderful. It will be life for those who were dead. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy, just as the entire batch of dough is holy, because the portion given as an offering is holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. But some of these branches from Abraham's tree, some of the people of Israel, have been broken off. And you Gentiles who were branches from a wild olive tree have been grafted in. So now you also receive the blessings God has promised Abraham and his children, sharing in the rich nourishment from the root of God's special olive tree. But you must not brag about being grafted into replace the branches that were broken off. You are just a branch, not the root. Well, you may say, those branches were broken off to make room for me. Yes, but remember, those branches were broken off because they did not believe in Christ. And you are there because you do believe. So don't think highly of yourself, but fear what could happen. For if God did not spare the original branches, he won't spare you either. Notice how God is both kind and severe. He is severe toward those who disobey, but kind to you if you continue to trust in his kindness. But if you stop trusting, you also will be cut off. And if the people of Israel turn from their unbelief, they will be grafted in again. For God has the power to graft them back into the tree. You, by nature, were a branch cut from a wild olive tree. So if God was willing to do something contrary to nature by grafting you into his cultivated tree, he will be far more eager to graft the original branches back into the tree where they belong. I want you to understand this mystery. Oh, boy. Dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourself. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only because the full number of Gentiles come to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scripture says. The only one. The
read
one
that again. Hey,
I'm
read
sorry,
that again.
12?
Read that again. Yeah.
Oh, 26?
From 25. Read that 25. Again.
Okay, God's mercy is for everyone. He says, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles come to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved, as the scripture says.
Oh, wow.
Wait, so explain
so,
that.
You know how significant that is?
Yes.
I mean, that is like what God is saying, what Paul is saying here is that in other words, Israel is God's chosen people.
Right.
But, you know, because his chosen people have, their hearts have been hardened,
mm-hmm.
God put them on the sideline. Like, you're going to sit over here on the sideline for
yes.
a minute now.
Uh-huh.
And, but right, I'm going to focus on getting these Gentiles saved. But once all the Gentiles have been saved, at least all who will come to God,
right? Yes.
Once they have been saved, God is going to save Israel too. So at that point, from what I'm getting, is that, you know, he's going to soften their heart because God is the one who, you know, he hardens the heart. But it's like, it's almost like he's saying here that Israel, those who have these hardened hearts will eventually be saved.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so not to be puffed up, not to be like, oh, those, you know, God, we are with, you know, those Jews, they still waiting, because I do that all the time, you know. These poor Jews, they ain't going to heaven. They still waiting for the Messiah. But that, they will be saved. But continue, because I want to see what go ahead. So that's what this
okay.
is so far. So as the scripture says, go
as
ahead.
As the scripture says, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sins. Oh.
That's it?
Yep. No, that's
God
not the whole thing.
No, but that's God is going to save them. Go ahead.
Yes, absolutely. So 28 says, many of the people of Israel are now enemies of the good news. and this benefits you Gentiles. Yet they are still the people he loves because he chose their ancestor, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. Once you Gentiles were rebels against God, but when the people of Israel rebelled against him, God was merciful to you instead. Now they are the rebels, and God's mercy has come to you so that they too will share in God's mercy. For God has imprisoned everyone in disobedience so he could have mercy on everyone. Praise be to God. Mm. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible for it is for us to understand his decision and his ways. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him and exists by his power and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Glory, sock it to us. He's letting us know, don't be all puffy up and whatnot, because God's still going to save his chosen people.
He's still going to save his chosen people.
Yes.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Even some of us Gentiles. So don't think that God is not going to keep his promise.
But God's rejection of Israel is only partial. There is a spiritual remnant that has trusted in Christ. And temporarily, they will be grafted back.
Mm-hmm.
Paul appropriately quotes frequently from the Old Testament in this section, and he emphasizes that God will be faithful to his covenant promise to restore Israel.
Amen. That's right.
Wow.
So we'll save application of righteousness next week. It's a lot of scriptures.
Yeah, it is a lot. It's a whole lot. So we'll save that for next
Because we're down to the ending of Romans.
Right.
Check you off for this. Ooh. Wow. This was awesome.
Awesome.
Like, God does not break his promises. If he promised.
And then you see, people don't know the word of God, you know, how Christians, you know, treat Jews, you know, just how this country is.
Exactly.
Well, they,
you know,
they
how
just
many
say
times
people, white people yes. hate Jews, hate niggas, but that's the whole thing. You call yourself a Christian, so how can you be a Christian? Did you read the word of God?
No, apparently.
Did you actually read the word of God and you have all this hatred towards Jews?
Exactly.
God loves them.
That's what Pastor called ignorance.
Yeah.
Ignorance to the scriptures.
And that's how important it is to do justice, to read the scriptures, to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Especially what's his name, the West guy. He really needs to read the scriptures because he is very, very ignorant when it comes to the Jewish people.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, Kanye West.
Oh,
Kanye.
Yay,
whatever his name is. And why would he call himself Yee Yay?
Because he just uses the last part of his name, Kanye. So he just like Yay as a shortcut or
Oh, yeah. Kanye. Oh. Well, they still need to read.
Yeah, he's very ignorant. He's very ignorant, and
he is.
He
I mean, like, you got to look at him like and say, poor thing, he doesn't know any better. God forgive him for what he say. Yeah,
it is poor thing, and you're absolutely right. And pray for him because you know he's doing all kind of things, not only affect him but affect his children.
Exactly.
You imagine what his children have to go through hearing their father's name, people calling him crazy and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't realize when they open their mouths and say things, what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Update. My the lady that does my hair, I mean, I was all over the place. I didn't like read her text, so I go to her shop, which is on 107th Street near the concourse, right?
Yeah.
And I go to her shop, not there, but then I didn't read the text. She had sent me a text to tell me that I should come to. It was her house because she just had a baby. Her baby is like 2 months old, and so she had gave me the address to come to the house. I was already at the shop when I saw the text.
Yeah.
So she lives on Willis Avenue, 142nd Street. So from 167th, I took her over there because I'm like, I don't even know.
Oh, I knew you there wasn't going to walk.
I took an Uber there.
Uh-huh.
And I got there. It was really nice. The baby is so, so cute. Aww. You know, she lived in a three-family house, and she lived on the top. So then I had to walk up. You see all the stairs.
My Lord.
to get up to her apartment. So, but it was very nice. Her place was very nice, quiet, clean.
Yeah.
So it was good. But then when I came back down, I walked to Willis Avenue and jumped on the bus. I forgot about this new bus, the 125.
When you get to 149, you got to get off that bus.
Well, that's exactly what happened. So I get on the 125 and I see everybody getting off the bus, and I'm just like, what? So then I had to walk around the corner to get the 15. Oh,
absolutely. 149th is the last stop. It starts to Manhattan. It goes to Manhattan. It starts from 149 to Manhattan. When it leaves Manhattan, it comes back to 149. I'd be so mad because that means now I have to pay one fare to get on the bus, and then when I get to 3rd Avenue, I use the transfer. When I get to 149th, I have to pay another fare.
Oh, right. That's right.
And I'd be like, oh, no.
Instead of two buses, it's three buses.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think of it like that. But, yeah, it's three buses.
I tell the driver, listen, I just got off the 15 bus. And this was the last stop, and I don't have a transfer, and I'm not paying another fare because I normally get on that limited bus to go all the way to Manhattan. All you guys did was made the thing worse than it was before.
Right. Oh, my goodness gracious, it's so true.
It's horrible, you know? I mean, like, you already got you a seat, and you know to go to Manhattan, because then you got to stand up all the way to 149th Street. Please.
Wow. Yep. Terrible.
All right. You want to pray us out, please?
Precious and Heavenly Father, once again we come to you as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and praise. Thank you for our teacher tonight, Lord God. Thank you for the lessons, Lord God. Thank you for opening up our minds and our hearts and our ears
yes.
to hear, see, and perceive what thus says the Lord. Thank
oh,
you for
yes.
Paul clarifying to us Gentiles that not to boast about
yes.
anything, but to stay
yes.
and trust in you, Lord God. We thank you for life. We thank you for strength. We thank you for health. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for providing a roof over our head, food on our tables, and clothes on our backs, Lord God, because so many out there are homeless and don't have. So what we have, Lord God, instilled in us to share with someone
yeah.
who is less fortunate than we are. And we thank
oh,
you
yeah.
for that, Lord God. We thank you for blessing our families, our friends, our enemies. We thank you for blessing our neighbors. And, Lord God, we even thank you for blessing our finances. Increase our finances,
yes.
Lord God, in this time of the season. And not just this season, Lord God, but every day, because everything is just out of control. But, Lord God, we know that you are in control of everything. So we're asking
yes.
you to wrap your loving arms around each and every one of us and protect us, Lord God, from all hurt, harms, and dangers, and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Bless our pastor. Bless our first lady, Lord God. Bless our Reverend Bolden and Deaconess Bolden. Bless Jake, our musical ministry, and bless Evangelist Hilda. And our psalmist, Barbara A. Amore, Lord God. Bless and our Reverend Price, all of those in authority, Lord God. Continue to use us as you would have us to be used. And we ask all of these blessings. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Love you. Have a good night. Take something for your back.
Yeah, okay, will do.
Let Pastor give you a nice massage.
Oh, okay, thank you.
A nice massage is what it needs. Very gently, like they do in the spas. Spas, and I get the massages. Oh, my God, it feels so good. You fall asleep.
Oh, yeah, sure. All right.
It does. Love you. Good night. And on that. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Burdens down, since I laid my burdens down. Good night, everyone. God bless you. Since I laid